Hello, unrefined listeners. Liz here. Before we dive into today's episode, I wanted to remind you that our registration for our very first She Shop is live now. So go ahead and head over to bit.ly/SheShop Period Power to save your spot in our upcoming Period Power workshop, or She Shop as we like to call it. During this two-hour workshop, Sharon and I are going to dive into ways to really tap into your natural body rhythms, specifically around the menstrual cycle. But even if you are not bleeding, if you're postpartum and you want to have ways to really just tap into your natural body cycle to feel better, to increase your productivity, to just really feel like a more balanced human, this workshop is for you. It's October 24th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. PST, all online. Dive in and connect with us during this time.
You are listening to the Unrefined She podcast. I am your host for today, Sharon Bailey. Liz is out, but we will catch up with her next week. Today on the podcast, I have Michelle Strand. Welcome, Michelle.
Hello. So excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have you. So for those of you who don't know, which is probably most of you since I'm new to this show, Michelle is my sister-in-law. And she's also a super rad lady in the health and wellness world. I'm going to read you a little bit about her bio. Michelle Strand is a senior producer at Impact Theory with an extensive background in digital media. Starting her career at Ryan Seacrest Productions, she soon realized the incredible reach and influence digital media can have, and she wanted to use it for good. Michelle went on to produce three short-form branded series for Quest Nutrition, before joining the Impact Theory team. She is currently producing three long-form shows under the Impact Theory umbrella, Women of Impact, Health Theory, and Relationship Theory. Collectively, her work has been viewed more than 300 million times. Additionally, Michelle is a total health nerd and spends her free time reading about food, buying food, and eating food. I love that. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So can you just really quick tell me a little bit about like what Impact Theory is?
Sure. Yeah. So Impact Theory is a digital media company. We produce shows that have a through line of empowerment. So right now, most of our shows are interview shows. We have, I believe five shows currently under our umbrella that are released on YouTube and podcast. We're starting to expand into more traditional forms of media, but right now we're all digital.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. So Michelle, if it wasn't for you, I don't even think I'd be here on this podcast because of your whole story you're about to tell us and all of your health journey and your health background really guided me into my own. And that's how I ended up here. So I just want to thank you in front of everybody here listening for being so like dedicated to your well-being, because it's really encouraged me to be dedicated to my own.
Nice. Oh, well, I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. So we start every episode out with a little segment called What's Cooking in Your Kitchen? So since you're a food person, it may be a food thing, but it can also be your kitchen of life. So just tell us what's cooking in your kitchen this week.
Okay, well, I'm gonna answer this in two parts, and they're both food. So for the last probably 6 months, I've been obsessed with everything pesto. So I have been making pesto every single week. And yesterday, for the first time, I made pesto with pecans. I don't know why I hadn't done that before, but that was amazing.
Amazing.
So I've been putting that on everything. And part two is brunch. Today I'm making some paleo French toast and grapefruit mimosas because it's a holiday weekend and why not?
Girl, if you didn't live so far away, I would be over there right now.
I'm very excited about this. I have not had French toast in a long time. And I can't wait.
Wait, so are you making the bread? What kind of bread are you using?
I'm using the Base Culture bread.
Base culture. Okay, cool.
You can get it at, I mean, you can get it at Whole Foods out here, but it's paleo bread. They have a keto bread. It's very good.
Yum. Oh man, French toast. You're gonna have to make that at Thanksgiving when I have the champagne peaches.
For sure.
Yeah,
Yeah, we can
yeah.
make peach French toast.
And we were talking ahead of time. I'm gonna be making some champagne canned peaches this week. So those will go very nicely together.
Delicious.
Also, pesto. That's my thing this week. I made garlic scape and lemon basil pesto with sunflower seeds, and it was outstanding.
That sounds amazing. I usually put pumpkin seeds in my pesto. I really love that, but I was out, so I had to go with pecans, but I have not tried sunflower seeds.
Pecans also sound amazing. It was kind of like, what do I have that's crunchy? Ooh, sunflower seeds.
Perfect.
You could probably do like seed cycling pesto, you know?
We can get into that because I did that for
Oh,
sure.
sweet. Okay. Yeah, I was thinking, I'm very curious to hear about your seed cycling because, like, I was thinking about how dedicated you have to be and, like, how could you just make that easier on yourself? Pesto.
Yeah, put it in sauces, put it in smoothies. Makes life way easier if you're not having to just actually put seeds on everything.
Amazing.
Hide them.
Well, we'll get into that because I want to hear more about seed cycling. To me, it's kind of this like thing that people do, and I know that there's seeds involved, and I know that there's specific times, but aside from that, it's like, I don't know. It's a thing that people do. So you can tell us in depth.
Perfect.
So let's dive in. Like, tell me about your journey. So I asked Michelle to be on the show because there was a point in her life, a pretty decent point in her life, where she wasn't having a period. And it was because of food and exercise choices and other things like that. And then now there is a point in her life, which is now, where she is having her period. And so what I want her to do is just walk us through from like basically start to finish, why, how, what happened, etc. So share with us, Michelle.
Of course, of course. So I'll go back pretty far. When I first started to get into health and nutrition, and that was when I was in college, I went through a little bit of a health scare with a benign breast tumor. And after that, I was like, I need to start taking care of my health. I don't know what caused this, which is all wonderful and amazing. So I started going to the gym. I had never worked out before in my life, which was actually, it was really hilarious. The first day I farted on my trainer. That was embarrassing. And then I almost fell down the stairs when I was leaving because I was that out of shape and my legs were like jello. So I started to work out. It got better from there, luckily. And then I started to pay attention to what I was eating. And I wasn't like crazy about it. I didn't know anything. I was just like, okay, like let me figure out what protein is and where protein comes from. That's like where I was beginning. I had no idea what any food was. And so I started to pay more attention to it. I started to be a little bit more regimented, like, okay, let's have actual meals. Let's make sure that if I have snacks, it's not just, a muffin from Starbucks. Like, let's, bring an apple or bring a, protein bar or whatever it was at the time. And that was all wonderful. And I, got into really good shape and I felt amazing. And then I moved to LA and became more and more obsessed with working out and eating, being more regimented with my eating patterns. So LA's funny because there's definitely a culture of health and wellness out here, but it's a totally different kind of culture of health and wellness than the rest of the world. In LA, it's very much like being so small and being so skinny is totally normalized. And so when you go other places, you realize that that's not normal. But when you're only in LA, you're like, oh, this is how everyone is. This is how life is. So there's a lot of people that are constantly trying to make themselves smaller, men and women. Both, it goes both ways. So I definitely fell into that cycle as soon as I moved to LA and started being very like kind of obsessive and crazy about my diet. So I went on like the bro diet for a long time of chicken breast and broccoli.
The bro diet.
Yeah, like the fitness bro diet.
Gotcha. Okay.
Broccoli and protein shakes, right? So I got to a point where I was eating probably 5 or 6 times a day, but each meal was like 200 calories because it was like a small chicken breast and some steamed broccoli. It was disgusting. And I will never, I still have like an aversion to steamed broccoli because it's like, it's so gross. but I got to that point where I was just, that was all I was eating. And I would eat a protein shake or a protein bar or whatever, but always with the goal to be smaller and lose more weight, even though I had no weight to lose whatsoever. And I was, I mean, now that I think back to it, I totally forgot about this until I started talking, but I used to go to the gym too. And I would take a pre-workout. I don't know if you've ever had a pre-workout.
No, what is that?
Honestly, I couldn't even tell you what's in it. It's like a bunch of chemicals. It's terrible for you. There is something called beta-alanine, I think, in there that makes you like itchy and scratchy, but you get like this insane energy for the gym. So I would take a pre-workout and I would work out like a maniac for like an hour and a half a day. It was total lunacy. But so that was my life. And then I got to a point where I was like such a low body fat percentage that I completely lost my period. And I didn't realize that I lost my period for probably 5 or 6 months. I just wasn't even, it didn't even cross my mind. I was like, oh, after a while, I was like, I feel like I haven't had a period in a while. That's so weird. And so I started to think back, when was the last time I had my period? And it was, you know, 5, 6 months prior. And for a little bit, I was like, sweet. Like, I don't like having a period. So this works for me. But then the longer I didn't have one, the more I realized, like, this doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem normal. And I think, like, I had kind of an inkling that I was doing myself a disservice by not eating enough and working out too much. Mm-hmm. But it was still very much the beaten into my head, the LA culture of workout, be healthy, healthy equals skinny, you need to lose more weight.
Right.
That was a really hard adjustment period. Once I figured out that I had lost my period and then trying to figure out how to get it back. That was the hardest part, because I didn't want to accept any of the answers that I knew I had to accept for me to get my period back.
Of course. Yeah. When you started like accepting those answers and like moving forward, you know, like I'm sure that incorporated like foods that had higher fat and all that stuff. Like, what was that like for you?
It was emotionally draining and very challenging. Mm-hmm. There were a couple things that I had to get rid of for me to be able to actually eat food. And one of them was the MyFitnessPal app. Because up until then, I would track everything in MyFitnessPal. And it was always this goal of trying to be under my caloric goal or whatever it was for the day, which was always absurdly low anyways. But if I hit under it, I would like celebrate. So I had to get rid of that. I was like, that's not a healthy relationship at all with food. It was all just tracking. And if I didn't track something, I would have immediate anxiety. So I was like, okay. Got it. Stop tracking. Got to get rid of this. But I remember when I went to delete my Fitness Pal, you know, on your iPhone, you like hold down your app and then it starts jiggling for you to delete it. And I probably stared at my phone watching the app jiggle for like probably 5 minutes straight, like trying to decide in my head, like, do I delete this? Do I not? How can I not track? How can I eat without tracking something? It was like all these questions going through my head. And I was just staring at my phone for 5 minutes straight.
Wow.
But I finally deleted it. And I only deleted it because I told myself, you can re-download it if you need to. But, it worked. It got it off my phone. So, so that helped a lot. And then the other thing I had to get rid of was my food scale, because I was also weighing and measuring everything that I ate. I had no idea how to make a plate of food that was enough to satisfy me without having to weigh it or measure it.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was everything. I mean, at my worst, I would like cut a strawberry in half because it was more than what I wanted. Yeah.
This is so interesting because, you know, we were doing like Thanksgiving together and all this stuff. I was not aware that you were in that level of like just obsessing over what you were consuming.
Yeah. Yeah. It was bad for a while. And I, you know, I always allowed myself to have like cheat days. Mm-hmm. So on like Thanksgiving and stuff, I wouldn't track anything because I would tell myself that it's my cheat day.
Oh.
But along with that, which I also don't do this now because I think it's a dangerous game to play in your head, because I would have a cheat day on like Saturday, for example. And then on Sunday, I would just work out for an extra hour or whatever because I had a cheat day the previous day. So there was no sense of like balance. I was like a slave to MyFitnessPal and calories in, calories out. That was my entire life. I was thinking about everything that I was eating and how can I burn that off.
Wow. I mean, I remember when I was doing the keto diet for a very short period of time, I was trying to actually get rid of a bad case of bacterial vaginosis after I had Fox, you know, my son. And I just couldn't, I was on like antibiotics for 4 rounds of antibiotics they put me on. I just couldn't get rid of it. So I tried keto and it worked. But I remember when I started trying to incorporate carbs back in, I had so much guilt. I mean, it was like painful. And I didn't want like my high levels of energy to go away or like my mind, the mental clarity that came with it. And I had so much guilt and like, and then shame about the guilt. I mean, there was a lot of complex feelings to unpack there. And that was for a short period of time. That was like 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only imagine after like falling into that pattern for so long, how much like anxiety and stress that probably caused for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I was constantly stressed and constantly worried about food. And I was to the point where I would think about it just all, like 2 days in advance. You know, I'm like, okay, let me think about my snacks. Like, what am I going to eat here, here, here? I need to eat at this time. What am I doing on this day? What do I need to bring with me so that I'm prepared? Which is like not a healthy way to live. Like you are not meant to be thinking about food and stressing about food all the time.
Mm-mm.
Like that's just not a natural way to live, especially with all of the other stressors in our world. It's like, this is one that is definitely not needed.
Yeah. I mean, there's like food prep and then there's that.
Right. I'm still the person that's like, okay, let me make sure I have snacks everywhere right. I go. I'm like, I don't know how long I'm going to be gone. Let's make sure I'm not hungry. But it was like scheduling out when I'm going to eat my 12 almonds. You know, it was like, yeah. Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. So I obviously that did not serve me well. So when I deleted MyFitnessPal and I was starting to at least attempt to be a little bit more flexible with my eating style, ironically, I did a Whole30. It was my first ever Whole30. And that was the best thing that I could have done for myself at that time, because even though Whole30 is very strict and there are a lot of rules with Whole30, it was still fewer rules than I had for myself otherwise. And it forced me to eat real food and to not measure anything, which was the two things that I wasn't doing because I was eating, you know, a lot of protein powder and that sort of thing. So when I first started my Whole30, it was a lot of similar foods to like the chicken and broccoli, but I wasn't measuring anything and I was cooking in fat. So that was honestly the first step for me. It seems like a tiny step to go from steamed broccoli to like sauteed broccoli. But when you're in that place, when you're so scared of eating fat, it's like, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And so it took me a month of doing that and not having any, you know, fake protein powders or artificially sweetened, whatever, to realize that I was going in the right direction. I was taking the right steps because I started to feel different. Like in my body, I was like, I feel better. I have more energy. I'm a nicer person because I'm not hangry constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that tiny step. And there were still, you know, a lot of, I would say, disordered behaviors in that first Whole30 month where I was still trying to schedule out my meals mm-hmm. rather than just listening to my body. But it was a baby step. And, the next month I did less scheduling. And the next month I, added a new food to my diet. I put avocado on my, bowl of ground beef or whatever I was having.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. It's
Really
crazy.
branching out there.
But it was just those little things that helped me kind of reorient my thinking with food. And the more I ate real food, the more I thought that this is what I need to do to get my period back. Because at that point, I hadn't had a period for over a year. And I was like, okay, I really need to figure this out. And I started doing more and more research on it. And there are a million things that you can try to do when getting your period back. And some of them work for some people, some of them don't. I tried probably everything, but I think the bottom line is eat more food, gain weight, and exercise less, and do more calm type exercise. So that was after I kind of figured out the food thing and I had a new way of eating that worked better for me, or was working for me at the time. That's when I started to make some other changes. So I would, instead of going to the gym for some like intense leg day, I would go for a walk. At the time I was living on the beach, so that was convenient. I would go for a walk on the beach. Or instead of doing cardio, I would go to yoga. So little things like that. So it was much more calm and a lot more emphasis on just breathing and being present, which is something that I hadn't done in years.
Right. Can I ask you a question? What was so there are certain days in my period tracking app, I track my movement. I like to just tell myself I need to move every day. And there are certain times of the month where, like, i.e., ovulation, where I'm like, I would just like want to work hard, right? Like, work out really hard because I have all this energy. And there are certain times during that period where I choose to like go on a walk instead of, doing my bar yoga class, right? And I get a little like anxiety about it. Like, I should be using this time to like really like, strengthen my body or burn fat or whatever it is I tell myself. So what was that like for you when you were having to transition from doing an intense leg day to going for a walk? Like, what was your brain telling you on those walks?
I mean, I think I was, at least at the beginning, I was more anxious and more, I think frustrated would probably be the right emotion because I genuinely love working out. I love going to the gym and I love lifting weights. So for me to not do that, I felt like I was losing my favorite hobby and I was losing what I thought for so long I needed to do to be healthy or be skinny, which those two were synonymous for me at the time. So it was like almost a mourning period. Like this, I had this intense sense of loss where I was like, what do I do if I'm not going to the gym? But I continued to go on walks instead. And I would force myself to, and at the beginning anyways, because I did not want to, but I did. And I told myself two things. I was like, well, you're paying a lot to live on the beach, so you better utilize that and go on these stupid walks. And then, two, that was the time that I got into podcasts. That was when I started listening to podcasts. And I would tell myself, there were particular shows that I was listening to, and I would tell myself, you can only listen to these shows when you're going on a walk. And so that would encourage me to actually go on the walk because otherwise I would have maybe listened to the shows at home and then I would have no reason. I would just make an excuse to not go on a walk later. But if I had that kind of hanging over my head, like, okay, no, this is the show that you listen to when you're going out on a walk. And it was really only a couple weeks, I would say, of doing that, like trying to convince myself to go on walks instead of go to the gym. But then after that, I really started enjoying it. I was like, oh, like this is actually really nice. I'm getting some fresh air. I'm listening to my favorite podcast. Like, why was I complaining about this? This is nice. And then I started to just feel like my nervous system just calmed down in general, with everything that I was doing. It was a lot of changes, but you can feel those changes when they start to kick in and you start to actually relax and breathe.
Yeah, plus it was such a nice walk. I mean, every time I come visit you, I'm like, I could walk up and down the strand all day.
all day. And some days I would go out for a couple walks just because I wanted, more fresh air or more time on the strand. I mean, part of why I guess this was another element of why I would go on so many walks, was the male population in Manhattan Beach is excellent.
Accurate.
So I would go on walks just to watch the surfers and take a look at the dilfs. I'm like, who's out today? What's up?
That's amazing. Yeah, I would do that too when I came to visit you. 100%.
You have to. But I mean, it was definitely difficult for sure. Like, I mean, I like make jokes about it, but it was a hard transition because I did feel like I was, losing a part of myself. Like, if I wasn't the fitness girl who was at the gym every day, who was I? I didn't know. So I had to, it was a lot of work on identity at the same time. Like, that seems so like such a leap from going on a daily walk to like figuring out who you are. But truly, like my identity was wrapped up in being like the super fit, super regimented, always at the gym girl. And then I
Totally.
wasn't any of that anymore.
Totally. I mean, I think you're hitting on such a huge point. Like when we're looking at the whole body and like holistically looking at our well-being, the symptom was that you didn't have a period. But the root was so much deeper than just you working out all the time. It was your identity wrapped around this. It was your, the community that you were living with and in this like whole idea that skinny equals healthy and the skinnier you are, the healthier you are. I mean, there's so much to unpack just to be able to start like getting your body back to the place where it's functioning in a healthy way.
Right.
Huge.
And, I felt like out of place almost in my body for a long time because as I was starting to work out less and eat more and eat differently, of course I started to gain weight. And I had to remind myself that that was the goal because it did not feel natural. I felt like I was doing something wrong, in the community I was in. I was like, this doesn't feel right. Like, I don't look the same anymore. Like, can I still hang out with these people? Like, do we still have anything to connect over if I'm not doing this? And, I'm not friends with a lot of the people that I was friends with at that time, but I needed to lose that. I needed to lose them and I needed to gain weight. And, that's what I started doing. But it's a weird and a very uncomfortable feeling to not feel at home in your body.
Yes. Yes, it is. I love that you put your well-being as a priority over your relationships. I mean, like, what do we have if we don't have our well-being, right?
Right.
Like, empty friendships, really.
Yeah, and I started to really assess too what these friendships were bringing to my life. And I was like, are these real friendships? Like, these are very surface level friendships where we talk about, fitness, or we talk about eating chicken and broccoli, or we talk about our epic cheat days. And I'm like, is this all there is to a friendship? Like, I don't really want to be friends with you if those are the only things that we can talk about. Like, that sounds so boring.
I feel like that's like tops 10 minutes of conversation.
It basically is because you don't have any brain power because you're all so deprived of
Hungry.
nutrients. Yeah. Exactly. So you have your conversation about deadlifts and then you yell at each other out of anger 5 minutes later. Like, no, thank you.
No. So where does becoming a nutritional consultant play into all of this?
So I went through the Nutritional Therapy Association's program probably about 6 months after I started making all these changes for myself because even though I hadn't gotten my period back yet, I started to realize that I was getting healthier. Like, I was just feeling better. Even when I did go to the gym, I was feeling stronger and more energized in my workouts, and it didn't feel like a drag. I had more consistent energy throughout the day. I wasn't crashing. I was a nicer person. And I was like, okay, there is something to this whole food thing and how it impacts you. So I went through the Nutritional Therapy Association program. To become an NTC consultant, purely because I just wanted to learn more about food. I was like, if eating vegetables and meat can make me feel this good, like what else don't I know? Basically, it was my reasoning. And so I went through the program. It was, I think, a 9-month program, if I remember correctly. So it wasn't even a full year. And in that time, I made even more changes to what I was doing, a lot more emphasis on relaxation and calming down the nervous system. Still didn't have my period when I got out of the program, but I felt like I was so close and I was so much further along in my journey just from learning about food. It wasn't even like I was researching period stuff, specifically in my program. I was just going through the program. But I just had a feeling the entire time. I was like, I'm pretty sure this is food related. Like, there's some pretty powerful stuff about food. Like, food is pretty magical. And I just know that if I know more, I can figure it out and I can get my period back. I don't know that I necessarily needed to know more. I think I could have probably just eaten more food and gotten it back. But it was an amazing program for me to go through and to learn about food and to figure out everything that I was doing wrong, and so that I could start to do everything right. Because up until that point, I still didn't really know what I was eating. Like, I kind of did. I had a rough idea from like tracking in my MyFitnessPal and stuff, but I'm like, I didn't know what nutrients I needed. I didn't know what nutrients were in particular foods and what is particularly good for, your hormone health. I had no idea and no clue. And even the doctors that I saw when I, because I saw some, Western medicine doctors, they didn't know either. They didn't tell me that it was food related or that it could be food related. They wanted to put me on birth control. So I was like, I'm gonna try to figure this out on my own with the food thing. We're gonna see if we can do that. And then, that program gave me a really good base, so that I had some sort of knowledge and then could do research with some sort of education backing me rather than just shooting in the dark, which is what I was doing before.
Totally. I think a lot of people feel that way too. I mean, I think that's why there's so many well-being podcasts and resources out there because so many people are searching for health in one way or another. Like our periods are such a great indicator of our overall like holistic health, right? And when, often when people like don't have a period or some other thing comes up, then they try to start figuring it out because they go to the doctor, they get the same thing. It's like, I don't want to take a pill to get my period back. Like that does not feel good in my body. So, but now where do I go? And I love that you're just like, I am going to do a training because that's totally what I would do too.
Yeah, I was like, well, clearly I don't know anything about nutrition and food and how it impacts you because I thought I did when I started eating chicken breast and broccoli, and that destroyed my health. So let me go to someone else that has a little bit more knowledge than whatever Instagram influencer I was following that told me to eat chicken and broccoli every day. So I was like, let's do some real research here. And it changed my life. Like, I just think about wellness and food and exercise and all of those things so differently now, through going through that program. And I've, met some incredible people through that program, and it was amazing for me. Yeah, I loved it. And it's so funny because the one thing that I always tell people when they don't have a period, like, you can do all the research and stuff you want, and I did everything that you could imagine. But one thing that they focused on in the program, in certain points, was relaxation and breathing and just calming down your nervous system. And I think that was the biggest thing for me, is I was constantly stressed. So, like, I work in a very stressful career, and then I was adding this nutritional stress to my body on top of that. So having someone else in like a authority position tell you that you're doing everything fine, you just need to relax. Like, I just needed to hear that. And that was one thing that the program taught me. Like, just take a chill pill. And I think that was one of the biggest things too for getting my period back, was just focusing on relaxation.
Man, I wish doctors would prescribe just chillin', you know, instead of like, here's a pill. How about you just chill? Like, just take some more time for yourself. It's really gonna be okay.
Exactly. Like, here's some Epsom salts. Go soak in the tub for a while. Like, honestly, I mean, after that program, I, made it kind of a weekly thing to take like an epic bubble bath where I would have candles and essential oils and Epsom salts and body butter afterwards and like face masks and everything. It was like this whole thing. But having that relaxation time was like a game changer. And I still do that to this day. I take more than one bath a week now. But it's like forced relaxation. You can't do anything when you're in the bathtub.
Right. You can't. I've tried. You just can't.
Yeah.
You can't like read, you know, the pages get all wet. I mean, some people do it. I'm like, how do you do that?
Don't know.
Oh man. Also, I have to say, I thought about this earlier. I love that you did a Whole30 and it caused you to eat more food because I think most people do Whole30s to like dial down their food a little bit. And I love that I've never heard it from that perspective of like Whole30 made me eat more.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of why it made me eat more is it focuses on eating meals, right? Not having
Right.
snacks throughout the day, which is something that I was doing. I would just eat a little nibble when I was hungry. Well, it was like every 2 hours, which my
Right.
hunger was very regimented at that point. And so I would have meals. I would have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and maybe I would have snacks available in case I was hungry. But I was like, okay, I'm used to eating every 2 hours at this point. So if I'm going to make a breakfast that is going to get me through to lunch, 4 or 5 hours from now, I need to make this pretty substantial so that I'm not dying of starvation. And it was a lot of trial and error for sure, but I would just make these huge bowls of food, like tons of vegetables, some potatoes. I would have like an apple on the side or a peach or whatever was in season at the time. I think it was apple season. And, I was really into just ground meat at the time or meatballs or whatever. And I would just throw that on there. And that was that, And it sounds simpler than it was. It was, I probably figured that out in like week 4 of Whole30. But, I was actually eating enough food to sustain me for hours, which I hadn't done in years.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was like letting yourself feel full. Amazing.
Wow. Yeah. And also, we have to say, I mean, you were a vegetarian for a long period of time, right?
I was a vegetarian for 12 years. I became a vegetarian the summer after 5th grade. My parents sent me to summer camp at the Humane Society because I really wanted a dog. They thought that they would teach me how to, take care of a dog at summer camp. But instead, they showed us some documentary about factory farming. And so I was mortified. And became a vegetarian the next day.
Oh my gosh, I could totally see your parents doing this. Like, this is going to be so great for her. And then you coming back and being like, I will never eat meat again.
Yes, exactly. They were pissed off. My mom was like, they did not say they were going to be showing that movie. I did not approve of that. So I was a vegetarian though for 12 years. I didn't start eating meat until I moved to LA, actually.
When you were eating chicken?
Yeah, exactly. That was the only reason I started eating meat was because someone on Instagram, I'm sure, said that, you need to eat chicken and broccoli to be healthy and to achieve your body goals. And so I was like, okay, well, I haven't eaten chicken in 12 years, but this is more important to me than, my moral obligation to stop factory farming. So, whatever, I'll eat this. And so I did that. And that was how I started eating meat. And like, granted, I'm very happy that I'm eating meat now, but the decision-making process was not health related at all.
Right. Like factory farms are disgusting. Just, yeah, like there should be an end to factory farms. But at the same time, clearly your body needed protein. However, just a white chicken breast, I mean,
Yeah.
it's entry level.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. I probably could have gone a little bit more something that tasted a little bit better than just plain chicken breast, but I had no idea what I was doing. I had never cooked meat in my life, so I was like, this seems good. So that was the entire thought process.
Wow. Oh man, this is amazing. I'm learning so much. So since after doing the nutritional consulting training, and between then and now, you have gotten your period back.
I have.
Yay! So can
Yay!
you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so like I said, I tried everything that you can imagine to get your period back. So there were certain people that said you need to do keto to get your period back. So I did keto. There are some people that said you need to, do seed cycling to get your period back. So I did seed cycling. Neither of those things, I think, were like a silver bullet, but they both helped for sure. And they taught me a lot about what works for my body and what doesn't. But I will say, what got me my period back was just eating more consistently every day. That was it. That was it. I wasn't keto when I got my period back. I wasn't super strict paleo. I was eating healthy. I was eating a ton of vegetables. I was eating a lot of carbs. I was eating plenty of protein and plenty of fat. So it's like plenty of all of it, just plenty of food. And I made sure, like, this is where my scheduling and regimented eating came in handy, is I always made sure that I was eating. I never missed a meal. I never was like, oh, I'll just have a coffee today for breakfast. I never did that. I always had food, even if it was like a Lara bar and a peach and a beef stick as I'm running out the door. It was always something. So that consistency was huge. But I will say, I think seed cycling was helpful for me in understanding my period better and figuring out what phase I could potentially be in and what things happen in each phase. So I learned a lot about my period through doing that. I don't think that the seeds are what got me my period back, but it was helpful as an additional tool in my belt.
Awesome. Since we talked about it at the beginning, can you just tell us a little bit about seed cycling so people have it as their tool as well?
Yeah, for sure. So seed cycling is something that you can do to help balance your hormones. And basically, it's super simple. But what you do is, in the first half of your period or of your cycle, you're eating 1 tablespoon, I believe, of flax seeds and pumpkin seeds every day. And you're supposed to grind them up to get the most benefits from them. So I would just grind them in a coffee grinder. And then in the second half, you're eating sesame seeds and sunflower seeds in the same 1 tablespoon per seed ratio. So I did that for probably a year, and I would just throw them in smoothies every day or like in sauces, like we said. So that's when I started making pumpkin seed pesto, is because I was like, I don't really want to put pumpkin seeds in a smoothie. That sounds kind of weird. So I'll just put it in pesto, and I'll drizzle pesto on everything I eat, and then sesame seeds, I would just put tahini on everything. I would make like lemon tahini salad dressing or sauce or something like that, and I would drizzle that on everything. There was something, oh, I mean, I would have sunflower butter as well. You could do that, just dip some apple slices in some sunflower butter. That was a go-to snack for me as well. So it's not as complicated as it seems. But you do have to be very consistent with it. Make sure you hit those seeds every single day. But it just became very natural for me. Like, I'm very habit-based, so for me it was just like, okay, part of my day is my smoothie in the morning has flax seeds in it, and then my lunch has pesto on it. And it was very much like that. And it was super simple. But I don't know a whole lot about the science of it, but from what I do know, it can be used for a lot of different hormone issues. So my issue was that I had no hormones. But for people that are way off balance, it can also help kind of bring things back to a normal level. So yeah, it was a fun tool. It was something that I never expected to be doing, but learned a lot about cooking, honestly, because I had to figure out how to eat these things so that it wasn't just ground seeds on everything that I was eating. And then learned a lot about my cycle and how it functions. I didn't even know what a follicular phase was.
A lot of people don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, you the first part of your cycle is you bleed, and then you have your follicular phase, and then you ovulate, and then it's your luteal phase. So just to give you reference, because a lot of people don't know. I didn't until I started tracking my period. And I don't even think I'd heard the term follicular. I was like, I have no idea what that is.
No, never in like sex ed, never learned any of that.
No, of course not. It's very basic.
Yeah.
Very basic in sex ed.
Abstain from sex.
Yeah, don't have sex. Sure. Yeah. So what was it like when you first got your period back? Like, were you just pumped?
Yeah, I mean, I literally cried.
I bet.
And I was in shock too because I wasn't really expecting it, but I could kind of tell like a couple or maybe like a month earlier, I was like, you know what? I feel like I'm gonna get my period soon. Like, I don't know why. I just feel like it's gonna happen. But I just wasn't expecting it on that day and at that time. So I started crying. And I cried, I think every time that I like went in to, you know, change my tampon or whatever. I don't even know if I had tampons. I think I had to go to the store. I was like, oh my God, I haven't bought tampons in forever. So I had to do that. And I was super emotional and super happy about it. My first one only lasted, you know, 2 days or something. And then it was kind of funny. I was like, remind yourself to be grateful, Michelle. But my period started coming then like every 2 weeks. And I was like, oh,
Oh,
okay. Nope.
we're gonna catch up.
100. Yeah. Like last time. So it started normalizing though after a few months, where it was once a month I'd have a period. The period would last, you know, about 4 days or so. And it's been consistent ever since. But I still get a little bit emotional every single time that I get a period. And I'll text my friends sometimes because there were a couple friends that I had at the time that were very supportive of me trying to get my period back and were making sure that I was eating enough and that I wasn't like being a crazy maniac at the gym. And I still text them sometimes, and I'm like, you know, I just got my period again, and I'm so happy, you know. Yeah, it's like a, you know, thank you for supporting me through this process because it was one of those things where it was such a hard process to go through. But looking back on it now, like it's amazing work to reflect on and be grateful for, because I like as much as I want to, you know, give credit to like my, you know, the nutritional training that I did and all these people that helped me throughout the entire journey. It's like I put in a lot of work into this. And so I still get emotional when I'm like, I did this to myself, but I fixed it at the same time. And so it's still very exciting for me. And I have friends that complain to me about their period symptoms sometimes. And I'm like, just be grateful you have one. You know?
Totally.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing, I promise. It's better than not having one. I promise you that. And it's been, you know, a 4 or 5 year journey at this point. And I still feel like I still have to work on it. You know, it's so easy to, once something comes back, to slip back into old habits. Like, okay, my period's back. Now I can go back to, not that I would go back to eating chicken breast and broccoli, but like, you know, being a little bit more regimented about my diet. And I'm like, nope, I don't need to do that. There is no need for that. I'm healthier than I've ever been. And that's what I have to, you know, remind myself of. But it's easier now to not fall into those habits, now that I've kind of gone through the process.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, I mean, and I've known you through this whole thing, and yet I knew very little about what you were dealing with. So I really appreciate you sharing this story. When you were, do you notice a difference? Because I'm really into like body rhythms and tracking your cycle to like for productivity and other things like we were talking about earlier, but did you notice a shift in just how your like work flowed, how, you know, I mean, just your whole life flowed differently when you got your period versus when you had didn't have it before?
Yeah, I mean, I don't track my period. I mean, I do track my period. I shouldn't say that, but I don't, I guess organize my life around my period as much as I should. But I think the biggest thing that I've noticed is I'm just overall less stressed about things because I'm not constantly worried about it. Even though when I knew I was doing everything right and I was coming, things were starting to come back online, I was still just stressing about whether or not I was going to have my period and what that was going to be like. And so now that I have it, I don't stress about it. It's just part of my life. But in terms of like how my life flows, I mean, I know when my period is coming now, and so I can have expectations for that particular day or week or whatever it is. So I know like the week before my period, or like the 4 or 5 days before my period, like I usually get a little bit grumpier and I will usually snap at someone once. Hopefully, usually once is all it takes for me to realize that, like, oh, okay, my period's coming. And I usually get like a little bit bloated. And I just expect that, And I used to get so when I first got my period back and I didn't have all of these things that happened to me in my life, I was like, what is going on? I was like, why am I being such a nasty bitch? And why am I so bloated? I'm like, this doesn't make any sense to me. But now I kind of have those expectations, so I can plan my life a little bit more around that. Like, okay, 3 days before my period, I need to make sure that I'm taking a bath so that I can relax and have some time to myself so I don't snap at anyone. Or I just need to know that I'm bloated for my period coming, and I don't need to be like questioning my diet, like, oh my God, I'm getting fat again. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
You don't need to go buy new pants.
exactly. I'm like, oh right, okay. So it's still a learning process though for me, because it's still, even though I've had my period consistently for over a year now, it still feels like I'm learning new things about my body every time. I'm like, okay, here this is coming again. Because I didn't have a period for over 3 years. And so it's funny to think like how quickly you lose all of those things about yourself. Like I don't even remember what my period was like before I lost it, And so I'm relearning how to have a period still.
Wow. I mean, I feel like I'm relearning how to have a period too now that I've started tracking it. It's like I just never, it was like a thing that I dreaded and then it happened and then it was gone. And every month it surprised me. I have been bleeding since I was 9 and I am 37. And I'm like, how is this still surprising me every single month, you know?
Exactly, exactly. It's like you need to just, I mean, and I need to get better about this, is just learning to, be in tune with it a little bit more.
Yeah. And just got, and like even kind of falling in love with the cycle, like even as hard as it can be, it's like, it's really important for our bodies to bleed, you know? Like it really is. Yeah.
Exactly. And so that's why I always come down to gratitude every time I get a period. I'm like, even though like maybe this frickin' sucks right now, like not gonna lie, like I have a cramp, I'm bloated, I'm grumpy, I'm tired, I don't want to do anything, I want to eat everything but also nothing at the same time because I'm so angry. Like it's still, I'm just grateful to have a period because it's a sign of health, and that's
Totally.
all that matters. Like if you don't have your health, you don't have anything.
Right. Oh, I love that. Is there anything that we didn't cover that you want our listeners to hear?
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, if you want to follow like my work outside of my period work, you can check out the shows that I produce. You mentioned them at the top, but Women of Impact, Relationship Theory, and Health Theory. So when we do have a health show, so it kind of ties my life together, that one show. So those are fun, and I through Health Theory, I've learned a lot too. Like we had well, actually, on Women of Impact also, but we've had a couple hormone specialists on, and that was purely selfish booking so that I could get to know them and talk to them about my life. But we've had Dr. Jolene Brighton on, who I love. We've had Alyssa Vitti, and we've had Melissa Urban, who started the
Oh,
Whole30.
nice.
And I,
Yeah.
that was a cool moment for me. I was like, you changed my life.
Totally.
But so that's my work side.
And that's on YouTube.
Those are on YouTube and on podcast. Yeah,
Awesome.
you can find them in
Awesome.
either place.
Awesome. Melissa Urban is like one of my favorite people to follow on Instagram. I just love how like raw and honest she is. Like,
yeah,
she's so good.
And she's so genuine. And like when you meet her in person, she's so sweet. I love all of her work. I just ordered from Thrive Market the new Whole30 branded
dressings.
So I'll have to let you know how those are. I'm pretty excited. Yeah,
definitely want to hear that. And then where can we just find you?
Yeah, so you can find me. I'm usually pretty active on my Instagram at Well by Michelle. So that's kind of a mix of my food and my work life and random rants on my stories and things.
They're always so good. I always love your rants. I'm like, yes, girl. Uh-huh.
I get the weirdest. I deal with the weirdest things in my job. And I'm like, I have to tell people about this.
Yeah, your current pitch series is outstanding.
Yeah, the people that pitch themselves to be on one of my shows, I'm like, sometimes it's great, and other times I'm like, what in the world? The one that we were talking about most recently is the guy who sent me a link to the trailer for Cool Runnings.
Naturally.
Why wouldn't you? And called me Tallulah. I thought that he sent it to the wrong person because it literally said, hello, Tallulah. I was like, no. It was like, or Michelle, but I know you love this movie. I was like, you're a stalker. Get away from me.
How did he even know that?
Well, to be fair, I did mention Cool Runnings in my bio on our company website, but I have to do a lot of digging to find that. And then to bring it up in an email.
Right. To like drop the reference, like, ooh, this is going to be the thing. This is
gonna... For sure. This is what's going to get me on that show. Like, nope, definitely not. So yeah, I go on lots of rants about those types of things on my Instagram stories. If you want to follow those so there, good. It's a good time.
Oh, so good. Sweet. Well, thank you so much, Michelle. I really like this has meant the world to me. So
thank you for having me. This has been so fun.
Thank you for listening to the Unrefined She podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the pod right now if you're not already, so you don't miss any of the goodness coming in hot every Thursday. And if you find what you heard today helpful, then please help women like you find us by leaving a review. Thank you, and we'll chat next week.